Tonight, if we can just jump straight over the pleasantries and get into it, and the reason I want to get into it is because I believe there is breakthrough in the air. It's like, I don't know about you, whenever I come to church, I'm believing for a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. Everyone say, I need a breakthrough. Turn to the person beside you and say, you need a breakthrough. Turn to the person on the other side, the one that you don't like as much, and say, you need a breakthrough. How many of you know we're all in the room tonight and we all need breakthrough? Breakthrough. So if we're gonna talk about breakthrough, can I ask you a question? What do you think comes first, honor or breakthrough? Honor or breakthrough? Honor, praise God. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You're right. Honor is what is preceding our breakthrough. We understand that honor precedes our breakthrough. That most of us in this room tonight are living, it's Sunday night. You could be at home watching anything on TV. You could be down the beach. You could be playing with the dolphins or whatever you do up here. Personally, I love dolphin. A little bit of tartar sauce, a bit of salad. Unbelievable. Moving right along. And so you could be doing anything, but tonight you are in the house of the Lord worshiping God. You understand what it is to honor. We understand that honor precedes our breakthrough. Breakthrough follows after honor. In Psalm chapter 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I like this. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy, they're like attendants. Attendants before the king. They could be attendants, or they could be like corgis running around nipping at your heels. Whatever way you want to see it, however you want to see it, goodness and mercy are meant to follow us in Christ Jesus all the days of our life, and we are going to live in the house of the Lord forever. All of the days of my life, this isn't just a breakthrough. So often it's like, if I get my breakthrough, I don't want a breakthrough. I want sustained breakthrough. I want to live in a place of perpetual breakthrough. I want to go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, as a way of living, as a way of life. This is living as the head and not the tail. I don't know about you, if I had the choice of being the head or the tail, I'm taking the head. You know what I'm saying? This is living as the head and not the tail, above and not below. This is breakthrough and living perpetually in the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. All the days of my life means that even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, how many of you know that's not a good valley? It's not a good valley, but even though I'm walking through, the reality is goodness and mercy are never far behind. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what valley you're in. I don't know whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley. I'm not too sure. But this one thing I know, whether you be up there or whether you be down there, goodness and mercy are never far behind. It's either real or it's not. In my moment of madness and upside downness and craziness, one thing I never doubted was the Word of God. Yeah. I never doubted the Word of God, as in I struggled, that's a reality, but I never doubted it to be true. Yeah. For me, it's either real or it's not. Yeah. If it's not real, then let's go back to living like we don't believe it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I do believe the Word of God. I believe the promises of God are yes and amen. I will proclaim them. I will declare them. Even in my worst moment, I'm still going to be looking to Jesus. I don't have anywhere else to go. A bit like Jesus when he says to Peter, well, are you going to leave us too? And he's like, where am I going to go? I got nowhere else to go. It's you or it's bust. As for me in my house, that's where it's at. It's God. And so I understand this, and I want you to understand this. Goodness and mercy are not far behind. I promise you, even though you may not be feeling it at the moment, in the moment, they're not far behind you tonight. That is the reality. And goodness and mercy will see us through as we walk into the full light of Christ. Into the full light of Christ. Yeah, you may be in a dark place, you may be in a dark moment, but how many of you know there is light in Christ? And I want to encourage you to do all that you can to drag yourself off the mat, off the carpet, out of the valley, out of the furnace, and start stepping again into the full light of Christ. But don't be content. Don't be like, oh, well, this is my lot. This is not your lot. That's the devil speaking to you right there, saying, this is your lot in life. This is not your lot in life. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a future. God has hope for you. And if you believe it, you can give God praise right about now. Does that tell you? You know, that's reality. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, it says, the path of the righteous. Are there any righteous dudes in the house? Yeah. Praise God. Are there any righteous dudettes in the house? I think the dudettes were louder than the dudes. It's like that all over the world, isn't it? It's like you give the girls an opportunity, it's like, ah! You give the guys an opportunity. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter. You'll hear me when I get to certain parts, I just repeat them. Ever brighter, ever brighter, ever brighter. It's like, well, how bright can it get? I'm not too sure yet, I haven't got there. But the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter, ever brighter, ever brighter, till the full light of day. Till the full light of day. So all the days of my life are to be blessed in Christ, and His light, His goodness, His mercy are meant to shine on me brighter and brighter and brighter until His glory is like the full light of day upon my life. Upon my life, every area of my life. Now, as you've come out today, most of you, a lot of you are aware of what happened last year. So hang on a minute, let's just back up then, because up until now, you've been talking about all the promises of God. They are yes and amen. You're going to believe the word of God. It is yes and amen. It's like, how many of you believe the promises of God are yes and amen? Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. How many of you know that is not yes? Oh, you're good? It's a yes is yes. I say to our church all the time, because they'll give me like a royal righteous nod. You know what I'm saying? I'll declare the promises of God and they give me a nod. Can I encourage you, the promises of God, we access them with a yes and an amen. How many of you know the enemy wants to take your voice? The enemy wants to pull your tongue out and tie it up and put it back in. He doesn't want you saying yes and amen to the promises of God. He wants you yesing the promises of God, amening the promises of God. Now, I know I'm taking it to the extreme there because some of you are like that, and that's a yes. But I want to encourage you, let your yes be heard in heaven. Let your yes be heard. I say to our guys and girls all the time, heaven is listening. All the time, heaven is listening. I'll look for a response and I was like, no, don't do that. Unfold those arms. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your voice. Lift up your life and say, Lord, I want it all. Yes and amen to the promises of God. So I believe all this, but my reality last year was not all that. Well, what happens when this happens? Stuff happens. I don't know about your world. In my world, stuff really happened. For those of you who weren't here this morning, I'd agree, if you can, please listen to the recording this morning. Just listen to it. I pray that God would use it somehow to help all of us. As I stepped into 2023, I found myself with severe depression. I really wish it could have just been depression. Why did it have to be severe? It's like, Baxter, if you're going to do anything, you always do it wholeheartedly. I didn't want to go there, you know. But I found myself with this thing called severe depression. When the doctor said it, psychiatrist said it, I didn't need a second opinion. I'm like, I know. Like, tell me something I don't know, you know what I mean? But to get it clinically diagnosed, okay, so that's what it is. That's where I'm at. Imagine that, a fun monkey like me crying for 3 hours at a time. And it's like, even as I think about it, and you saw me this morning, it's like, when I went there and I paused and actually went there, it was like, I didn't need to hang there for too long for it to actually, I could feel it, you know what I'm saying? I could feel it, that's where. And so the tears this morning were a cross between, I felt it, and joy, because I'm so far moved down the track from where I was. But so that's just my reality. But diagnosed with severe depression, crying for 3 hours at a time, to the point where I just messed up, gone. Look at myself not knowing who I was anymore. Off work for 5 months straight. It's like, if you know me, I don't like being off work at all. Part of the challenge was, my wife would be saying for 25 years, we need to go on a holiday. For me, a holiday was like, yes, let's go to Hawaii and catch up with our friends, and I'd preach 4 days instead of seven. That was a holiday. I mean, if you know, it's like, I might be a carpenter like our Lord and Savior, but in some ways, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what may have been better just to slow down for a while? May have been better to work some things out. But for me to have 5 months off work, it was like it's not something I signed up for, but neither did I have a choice. But my experience last year was merely a chapter of my story. It's not my story in totality. That's why I don't want to become the depression guy. It's like I don't want to be that guy. It's like, it's part of my story. It's a chapter in my story, but it's not my story, and it's not going to define me. It's a chapter in the furnace. I had to laugh like when you were talking before about worship songs. And it's like, some of the worship songs, from my point of view, they're stupid. That's like, in the crashing. And it's like, what the heck are you singing? I don't want to be crushed. Anybody want to be crushed tonight? It's like, hey, put me in the furnace. Yeah! It's like, put me in the crucible, baby. Let's go. It's like, what are we... It's like, now, it makes for great worship, good albums, praise the Lord. But how many of you know in life when you're in the furnace? Yeah. All right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're about to be thrown into the furnace. It's real. Yeah. It's real. Yeah. It's like in the valley of the shadow of death. It's real. Yeah. And now, am I saying we shouldn't sing? No, because we're going to sing and Jesus will turn up in the furnace and Jesus will turn up in the valley of the shadow of death. But some of the songs, when we were talking today, and you were like, let our focus in worship be upon Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Let it be all about God, our Savior, our Deliverer, our God. And it's like, yeah, anyway, that's just me, blah, 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 blah. Praise God. You can tell I'm in a better mood tonight. Oh, dear. It's a chapter. My year last year is a chapter. That's all it is. That's revealed to me so many things that I wish I never knew. It's interesting, isn't it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's like they're about to get thrown in the furnace. They find themselves in the furnace. But they found Jesus in the furnace in a way they'd never seen Jesus before. That would be my reality. I discovered so many things last year that I wish I never knew, but at the same time, I'm strangely glad that I do know. How does that work? I'm not really too sure, Pastor John. I'm not really too sure. It's like I hated it, but at the same time, I was learning. I discovered so many things about myself. I discovered things about God, my marriage, my family, my friends, my church, my life, my beliefs, my convictions, my values, my doctrine. I found out so much. Friends, can I encourage you tonight? Don't despise the furnace. Don't despise the furnace. If you find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death, don't despise it. If you find yourself in the furnace, don't despise it. Now, if you're in the furnace, I'm not saying for a minute that you need to enjoy it. Yes, we are. It's like, how many of you know, enjoy church? That has a nice ring. Enjoy furnace? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. We're not going to enjoy the furnace. It's like, it is what it is, and it does what it does, but I'm not looking to write my next song in the furnace. So I'm not saying that you need to enjoy the furnace, and I'm not saying you need to love it, but what I am saying is if you are smart... Give me a wave if you're smart. Praise God, there's 18 of you here tonight that are smart. I was hoping for more. Give me a wave if you're smart. Praise God, come on, you can do it. What I'm saying is if you've got your wits about you, how many of you got your wits about you? You know I'm going to come after you, don't you? It's like, you give me nothing, I go, I got to keep on coming. All right. I'm saying if you're smart and you've got your wits about you, you won't despise the furnace. You don't need to love it. You don't need to enjoy it. But don't despise it. Because if you despise the furnace, you're not going to come out any different to the way you went in. Now, I pray at some level that last year did something in me that's going to set the rest of my life up. Glory to glory. Strength to strength. Ever brighter. Ever brighter, ever brighter. Because if it doesn't set me up for that, then what was the point of the furnace? Church, there's meant to be an exchange that occurs in the furnace. God wants to refine you, to remove some things from you and add some things to you. He wants to see an exchange of your fear for faith, your doubt for trust, hopelessness for hope, weakness for strength, poverty for promise, sorrow for joy. Etc., etc., etc. We could go on and on and on. So what I'm encouraging tonight, don't despise the furnace. Don't despise it. So yes, I found myself in the valley of the shadow of death, but as strange as it may sound, and it was brutal in ways that it was brutal. But as strange as it may sound, I didn't want to get out of it too quickly. You might be like, say what? What's the matter with you? Have you lost your mind? I didn't want to get out of it too quickly. I wanted to get out, but not too quickly. I said on social media that I was intrigued that David wrote, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if it was me, just being real, I would have been like Speedy Gonzales. Yippah! I would have been like, whoa, gone. Why didn't David write, though I run through the valley of the shadow of death? Because the valley of the shadow of death is real, and so David's in there, and he's like, why doesn't he just want to get the heck out of there? Why does he write walk and not run? Now, some of you know the answer. David is a shepherd. David knows shepherds don't run. David is walking with his shepherd. His shepherd isn't going to run. Can I encourage you? Don't run. Don't run. So you're in the furnace. Don't run. You're in the valley. Don't run. You got marriage challenges. Don't run. You got business challenges. Don't run. Got emotional challenges. Don't run. Got church challenges. You probably wouldn't have any up here. We only have them in Victoria. Don't run. Don't run. Running, if you run, you're not going to learn what can be learnt. If you run, so think about it. David, though I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for why? For you are with me. So he's walking with his shepherd. He's talking with his shepherd. He's learning from his shepherd. He's growing with his shepherd. The shepherd is like, here's the treasure. Here's the wins. Here's the learning. Here's the knowledge. Here's the understanding. And he knew that if he ran, well, he might get, in theory, out quicker, but he's not going to learn and take the treasure with him that he's meant to take with him along the way. So when I found myself in this place, the deepest, darkest space that I'd ever found myself in, just for the record, because like it's always a question. Sometimes it's like, have I ever been in anything like this before? The answer to that is no. I think I said on the way in, it's like the nearest thing to depression would be after what would it be, 2016, 15, 14, 13, Richmond got into the finals, like, and they got in 3 years in a row, and they lost on the first game 3 years in a row. Then they finished 13th. I got to tell you, it was a bad hour. That would be the nearest thing to depression I've ever been in. I am an international fun monkey. Praise the Lord. I like the part about international leaders and all that, but I'll go fun monkey. Praise God. It's like, and so, but the good thing was Richmond won the grand final next year. So, woo, we're back. All right. So it's all good. I'd never had anything in this space ever. I've always been up and about, living life, believing, hoping, dreaming for the future, just running and loving life. And then I found myself here. Why did David want to stay there? David wanted to stay there because he wanted to learn some things. I had to learn some things. I was speaking to Dr. Leckin. For those of you who weren't here, listen to this morning and you'll work out how Dr. Leckin came into our life. It's a miracle. God will give his angels charge over me. And that's exactly what God did. I was speaking to Dr. Leckin one day and he said to me, Pastor Shane, he said, you need to understand that depression has a language. Depression has a language. Now, if you speak to any mental health expert, they're all going to agree and say, yeah, it does. We were speaking yesterday to one of your psychiatrists here. It's interesting, our GP from Nigeria is Dr. Emmanuel. Dr. Leckin is a psychiatrist. Your Dr. Emmanuel is a psychiatrist. And we were talking and he was confirming, yeah, depression certainly has a language, no doubt about that. He said, when I was listening to what you were going through, I could hear it. I could hear it. It was amazing. It's like, yeah, I have no doubt you can. As in, we had Dr. Leckin come across one time. He sat at the kitchen table for an hour. As in, these guys ministered to us. They cared for us. They loved us. He's sitting at the kitchen table for an hour. And I know, he's already said to me, depression has a language. So I'm like, well, I'm going to put on my best Shane Kingdom godly voice. And I'm going to speak faith. And I'm going to. And it's like, after an hour, he says to me, Pastor Shane, I've been sitting here for an hour and all as I've heard is depression. I haven't yet heard from Pastor Shane. And I'm like, oh! I thought I was doing so well, but apparently not. Depression has a language. Now, I didn't ask him at the time, but I'd imagine, because that's what I have a habit of doing, just taking things and pulling the thread, I'd imagine grief, sorrow, anxiety, hopelessness would also have languages. How many of you know this is one but ugly family right here? Like, these cousins are the ugliest cousins you're ever going to see in life. There's no doubt about that. Depression, grief, sorrow, anxiety, stress, all, as in they are one ugly family. Maybe they all share the same language but have different dialects. I'm not too sure. I tend to think that would be right because there's overlaps in all these spaces. I don't know that for sure, but I do know that the medical fraternity would all agree that depression has a language. So I'm out walking with the shepherd, talking, trying to get my head around where I was at and trying to get myself right. And as I'm walking with the Lord one day, like the first gleam of dawn, it was like I was hit right in the eyes by a thought. And the thought was simply this: if depression has a language, so should honor. If depression has a language, so should honor. What comes first, honor or breakthrough? Honor. Therefore, if I'm tired of the depression, if I'm tired of the pit, and I'm tired of the valley, then I need to make sure that I'm speaking the language of honor, that I might begin to walk free and into all the life that God has got for me. So if I'm tired of the furnace, tired of the valley, I want my breakthrough, I want out, I need to start speaking the language of honor, because honor is what is going to precede my breakthrough. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. How many of you love to talk? Four of you? How many of you are honest? Most of us love to talk. Whether you love to talk or don't love to talk, the reality is you will eat the fruit of your tongue. And it's like, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do, because it's the Bible. Praise God. It's like that, the reality is what you speak, you're going to speak into existence. God did it in the beginning. God spoke. And how many of you know it came into being? God has put this ability within us. There is life and death in the power of your tongue. Therefore, we need to make sure we're speaking in accordance with what we want to see come to pass. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How many of you know we can't fool God? It's not like that. So I agree, we don't want to be like these people. We don't want one thing to be in our mouth and another thing to be in our hearts. No, no, no. What we want our mouth and our heart to be aligned, potentially, particularly with the Word of God. We want our mouth and our heart to be aligned so that what is being carried in our heart is being spoken out of our mouth, and we're speaking a better future into existence. So what does the language of honor sound like? What does it sound like? What sound coming from our mouths will lead us to stepping out of the furnace and stepping out in such a way that we don't even smell like smoke? What sound from our lips will cause us to walk from the valley of the shadow of death with goodness and mercy following closely behind us? Of course, the sound is the sound of praise. Everyone say praise.
Praise.
Say praise.
Praise.
As the worship team come, we're going to praise. Praise is so important to where you want to go. Praise is so important to your today and your tomorrow. Praise is important for 2024, but praise is important for 2030. How many of you know your praise and what is coming out of your mouth is either going to set you up and you will eat the fruit of your lips, or it is going to drag you down? It's like, I want to encourage you, if you're in this space, can I encourage you? Don't talk about my depression. Don't talk about my anxiety. Don't, as in, not for a minute did I entertain that this depression was mine. It was an attack. It was a sickness. It was a this. It was a that. I had depression, but not for a minute was it my companion or my pet. I'm not going to own it. I'm not going to drag my chin all over town saying, it's mine. No, it's not. What's mine is life in Christ Jesus. What's mine is life and life to the full. What's mine is all the promises of God. That is what is mine, and that's what I'm going to declare. The language of honor is, of course, the sound of praise. Sorry, just does that occasionally. The language of honor is, of course, the sound of praise, 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 praise. How many of you know it's really hard to be a sad sack when you're praising God? It's really hard to be a lemon sucker when you're praising God. It's like praise does something. That's why you're going to eat its fruit. It's like you got to get it. When your praise goes up, the miracle comes down. When your praise goes up, salvation comes down. When your praise goes up, the hand of God comes down. And he lifts us up out of the miry clay. And he crowns us with love and compassion. He's a good, good God. He's a good, good Father. So if depression has a language that's got me beat up and it's keeping me in the furnace and in the valley, then I need to commit to making sure that my heart is full of honor and my mouth is full of praise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 3. All praise. How many of you know Paul had some days? He had some days. He had some challenges. Wasn't all beer and Skittles. Forex and Skittles. No beer, just Skittles. All praise to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. I like that. He comforts us. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Maybe I got comforted last year so I could come and comfort you. Maybe he was there for me that I might come and tell you he's going to be here for you. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. That's why I'm here. It's the only reason I'm here. The only reason I shared like I did this morning was to come and let you know it'll be all right. The same God who saved me is the same God who's going to save you. Going to save you. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your benefit and salvation. I understand this, whatever I go through, it's never just for me. It's never just about me. That's why it's so important that I go through, though I walk through the valley. I'm not staying here, because if I stay here, I'll be of no benefit to you. So God did a work in me that I might come and tell you God can do a work in you as well. It is for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, it is so that we, in turn, can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in suffering, you will also share God's comfort. Praise God. So I say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I say, this time I'll say it in English. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, being honest, there were times last year where I didn't want to praise the Lord. Well, why do you think the psalmist wrote, "Bless the Lord, O my soul"? Come on, Shaney boy. Get off the carpet. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this. But I don't want to. Let's just be real. Sometimes we don't want to. But how many of you know, as long as your feelings are overrated, you may have heard me say it before, feelings, all you need is... How many of you know it's a load of crock? Feelings are overrated. Majority of the time, they're going to lead you up the garden path. What we need is the Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless His holy name. I'll praise His holy name. So I say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Psalm 42, verse 11. Why are you downcast? It's like if you've got depression, you got anxiety, you got stress, you got all this going on. As in downcast, you understand the word downcast. Why are you downcast, Shaney boy, oh my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Psalm 9, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing. Praise God. I did it again. It just came out. And it's like, I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Psalm 63, verse 3 and 4. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. give thanks to him and praise his name. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Psalm 28 verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise him. Praise God. With my song, I am going to praise the Lord. I will lift up my voice. I might sound like a hyena, but I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to praise his name. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Psalm 71, verse 8. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If praise is the language of honor, and honor precedes our breakthrough, may praise always be found on our lips. Yeah, I've been in some valleys, and you've been in some valleys, but the Lord has led us through. And I've been in some furnaces, and you've been in some furnaces, and the Lord will lead us out. But the unfortunate reality is, the chances are, I might find myself, we might find ourselves in some more valleys. We might find ourselves in some more furnaces. That is the reality. But I want to say to you tonight, if the Lord has been faithful to this point in time, the Lord will continue to be faithful and he will lead us out. But even if he doesn't, but even if he doesn't, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They're like, this furnace is getting turned up and up and up and up. People are melting around them as they're getting taken towards it. They say to the king, hey, king, here's the deal. You can throw us in, but if you do, the Lord's going to save us. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know we're not bowing the knee to you or anybody else. We're going to continue to worship and give praise to our God. Good times, bad times, hot times, cold times, furnaces, valleys, mountaintops, wherever we find ourselves, we will give praise to the Lord. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. My help comes from the Lord. I cried out and salvation came my way. You saw me this morning. Obviously, there's a different Shane this morning to this evening. This morning is very real for me. It's the first time for a long time I've really shared like that. And it brings back all sorts of memories and emotions, and it does what it does. But that gives me the power to stand here and encourage you. So if I've been through anything, I hope it encourages you. The same Lord that saved me is the same Lord that will save you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's like, it was terrible last year, but God was beautiful. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I just want to really quickly pray. I'm going to jump back up here for 1 second. There may be people in the room tonight that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In a minute, we're going to praise the Lord. And I honestly believe as we praise and we honor God, we're saying, I'm not going to stay in this state of depression, Lord. I'm waving to you. The righteous call upon the name of the Lord. The arm of the Lord is not too short to save. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tonight, we're going to end it a little differently to this morning. I don't know about you, but what happened this morning wrecked me. As in, you can tell people just coming to Jesus, basically. But tonight's going to be a little bit different because I really feel that we need to honor the Lord and praise our way out. For me, I'm going to make decisions now every day. Every day. People were asking me at the end of last year, when are you coming back? And I'd say, never. I'm never coming back. Not the back that you know. I'm going to move on into the new life that God's got for me. I've got to do some things differently. One of the things that I need to do is I need to praise the Lord. When I feel like it, when I don't. I'm aware that as we come to church tonight, and even this morning, it's like, as we come to church, but sometimes we drag ourselves there by faith. And praise God, if that's how you've got here tonight, God bless you. Because everything was within you is probably saying, stay home on the couch, or go play with the dolphins, or whatever it is that you would want to do. But you didn't do that. You got yourself to the house of God. I believe that, you know, there needs to be breakthrough every time we come into the house of the Lord. And it's just the way I'm wired. I tell our people often, you've come in that door, leave that door. Don't come in the same way, don't go out the same way you came in. There's got to be, we're going to go different now. We're going to go different. I'm believing tonight as we honor the Lord with our praise and our dance and our song and our voice. I believe as we honor Him, as our praise goes up, breakthrough is going to come down. So if you're here tonight and you've got some depression realities, you've got some anxiety realities, stress realities, disappointment realities, brokenness, sorrow, sadness, and it can come in all sorts of ways like we talked about today. You know, I told you my story. Everyone in the room's got a story, but here's the thing. We've all got Jesus if we believe in the name of the Lord. And so no matter what you're going through or gone through, if you're like, I'm here, and I'm tired of living with this. I'm tired of living with this thinking. I'm tired of living with this feeling. I'm tired of living with this sadness. I'm tired of crying myself to sleep. I'm tired of it all, and I want breakthrough tonight. I'm going to encourage you as we begin to praise, because these guys are going to praise the house down. If you're tired of it and you're like, I want my breakthrough tonight, I'm going to encourage you to come out and praise. Now, I'll be here. I'm going to be right here. And it's like, are you going to pray for us? No, heck no, I'm going to praise the Lord because I need my breakthrough daily. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I need my breakthrough today as well. So I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to lift it out. Now, here's the thing. Tonight is the first. And I'd encourage you tomorrow when you get up, make a decision. I'm going to praise the Lord. Put on your Spotify, Dusha Dusha C3 Powerhouse, Boom Chakalaka. Put that on and begin to praise. 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 Let your praise be a weapon of warfare. You want to know about spiritual warfare? I get asked, you get asked, can we do a series on spiritual warfare? Why don't you just read your Bible? can we do a series, please, Pastor? No. Why don't you take your hands out of your pocket and actually raise them? How many of you know your fingers want to dance before the Lord? You know what I'm saying? It's like, woo! You know, it's like, just get a little bit crazy. It's like, oh, I'm not that sort of guy. I'm not one of those. No. Don't say, I'm not that guy. Yes. David danced before the Lord. Yes. He's bringing the presence of God into his city. He's dancing in his undie-grundies, you know what I'm saying? Got the big Y fronts on, and he's dancing, and here's his wife paying out on him. And he's like, she's like, look how the king has distinguished himself. And he's like, you haven't seen anything yet, baby. Yeah, you just need to be quiet now. How many of you know it's time to tell the enemy to be quiet? Yeah. How many of you know Mikhail? She never had a child from that day on. And it's like, boom chakalaka. That's brutal. Let's not be judging our brothers and sisters when they're getting bare before the Lord. When they're getting pressing into the presence of God, believing for breakthrough. David was believing for a city. Maybe you need to dance on behalf of someone else tonight. Maybe you need to praise on behalf of someone else tonight. So if you want your breakthrough, you want depression to be broken, anxiety to be gone, sadness to be lifted, joy to be coming, joy of the Lord is a strength, inexpressible, glorious joy. Why don't you come and join me tonight? Let's praise, let's praise, let's praise.